Amen. He never fails. Well, you know, we know that in theory, but when you're going through it, you're going like, Lord, are you going to come through? Lord, come on now. Do you hear my prayer? Do you hear my call? Amen. The Bible says he hears the cries of his people. Amen. I was crying out this week because I needed his help in a certain situation. And the Bible says that he hears our cries and he delivers his people. So I'm thanking the Lord that he's our deliverer. Amen. So this Sunday, we're going to continue in our series on We Want to See Jesus. And don't we all want to see Jesus? I wish we could see him face to face, but we can't do that. We have to believe that he's with us, even though we can't see him. And I've heard people that have seen him in heaven said he's the most beautiful person you ever wanted to see, just glowing in light, and his eyes are like pools of love, and he's so welcoming to you. And one lady said, and we're going to hear a clip from it in a minute, she said, he's not just, he doesn't just love us, he's in love with us. You know, there's a difference. You can love someone, but when you're in love, you're just all in. You just want to be part of them and have fellowship with them. So let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together so that we can hear wonderful truths from your word on how much you love us and how much we want to see you. And we thank you, Lord God, for guiding my mouth, my heart to speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So our foundation scripture is this here in John 12, 20 through 21. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Now this is interesting. The Gentiles, the Greeks, were not allowed to go into the temple proper. They had to be on the outside court called the court of the Gentiles. In other words, you can come and worship, but don't get so close. You can't come in. It's for the Jew first and then the Gentile. They were excluded. Isn't that something? But the Gentiles, the Greeks said, we heard about Jesus. We saw all the miracles he did. We saw how he raised, or heard about how he raised Lazarus from the dead. We see these thousands of people that are crowding him in the streets. We want to see Jesus. Can we have an audience with him? Can we talk with him? And Jesus said, listen, boys, I'm getting ready to be crucified, and I don't really have time for this right now. And he always has time for us now. We can come before him anytime, day or night, in your bed, if you kneel down, whenever, Jesus will talk to us. Isn't that good news? So there were many perceptions of Jesus. Is he a prophet? Is he a teacher? Is he just a good person? Well, here's what Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 13. He says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, are? Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? They said, well, some said John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some said Jeremiah the prophets. Now, why did they name those three people? Well, because John the Baptist, he had national repentance. They thought, well, Jesus came just to give us repentance from our sins. How about Elijah? Well, he did many mighty miracles like you're doing, Jesus. Well, what about Jeremiah? He was a prophet that spoke the words of God. Are you one of those risen from the dead? And Jesus looked at him and said, well, who do you say that I am? Amen. Isn't that the question he asked? Who do you say? Who is he to you? Is he your healer? Is he your savior? Is he your Lord? Who is he to you? And this is the question that we ask ourselves. And so I posed that question to our Bible study on Wednesday. Who do you say Jesus is? And so I asked Rudy. And Rudy said, I say something to the Lord every day to Jesus. I go, really? And he read it to me, and I wanted him to come up and read it to us right now. Come on, let's give a hand clap for Rudy. Now, Rudy's a miracle man because he had COVID 2 years ago, and he was dead for 6 minutes, and he was in a hospital for 8 months. And Sister Gina said, oh, no, he's coming back. He's going to come back, testify, as he's going to do now. And he's ministering wherever he goes, telling him about the story, how Jesus rose him from the dead. And he actually saw Jesus, because when you're in heaven, he saw Jesus and his son there. And his son said, Dad, what are you doing here? It's not your time. You need to go back. And so he came back, and he said that Jesus looked a lot like our Jesus here that we have at our church, Brother Anthony. In fact, I tell people when I say, come to our church, because Jesus comes to our church. And they say, yeah, I guess so. I see that he does. So Rudy's going to read what he says to Jesus every day. Micah.
Jesus is my God, my King, my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my refuge, my provider, my strength, my defender, my protector, my peace, my joy, my life, my all, my everything.
Amen. Amen, Rudy. Hallelujah. And you say that to the Lord every day?
Every morning.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the way I start my day.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, that's good, Rudy. Why don't you take this back? That's good, Rudy, and I'm glad you do that. But, you know, he missed a couple of names. There's over 100 names of Jesus in the Bible. And do you want to hear a couple of them?
Sure.
Do I get an amen? Okay, keep going. Okay. Now, see if he's any one of these to you. He's our advocate. He's the Alpha and Omega. This is alphabetical. He's the apostle of our profession. He's the arm of the Lord. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the bread of life. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our cornerstone. He's our creator. He's our deliverer. He's the glory of the Lord. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things, our holy child, the Holy One of God. He is the horn of our salvation. He's the image of God. He is Emmanuel, the judge of Israel. He's the just one. He's the King, the King of Kings. He's the lawgiver. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord over all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the man of sorrows. He's our mediator. He's the messenger of the covenant. He's our Messiah. He's the mighty God. He's our Passover. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the prophet. He's our Redeemer. He's the resurrection and life. He is our rock. He's the rock of David. He's the rose of Sharon. He's our Savior. He's the seed of the woman. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of our righteousness. He's the true light, the true vine, the truth, the Word of God. He's Jesus. He's our everything. He's done all that for us. And all we have to do is receive Him and allow Him to work that in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I get excited when I read all that. Can one person be all that? How could you be all that unless you were God? And God did that, and He came, and He was that for us. Praise the Lord. So let's get back to the question that Jesus asked His disciples. Who do men say that I am? And you know, Peter was usually the one that would always answer first. You know that? Like the guy in school, they ask a question. They always raise their hand. Sometimes it was right. Sometimes it was wrong. Well, Peter got it wrong a lot. Amen? Remember at the Mount of Transfiguration? When Jesus came with Elijah and Moses, and Peter said, hey, let's build 3 altars here, one for Moses, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah. And the Father in heaven spoke and said, this is my Son, listen to Him. Because Peter missed out. He didn't understand that Moses was the law, Elijah was the prophet, and Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Amen? He came to fulfill it. So God said, listen to Him. Amen. And you remember the time when Jesus was going to wash the feet of the disciples, and Peter said, no, don't wash my feet, I'll wash your feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. He said, okay, wash everything, wash my head, my arms. And Jesus said, no, that's it's a ceremony. You have to do this, okay? And then remember, Peter was famous for, I'll never deny you, no matter what happens, I'll never deny you. And he denied him 3 times. Amen. Peter felt pretty bad. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm here. And he still didn't take him from his place. He said, you're going to be, upon this revelation of you knowing that I am Jesus. Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And so he said in Matthew 16, Simon Peter, he got this one right. Amen? You keep talking, sometimes you're going to get it right. Amen? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, flesh and blood has not said that to you, but my Father in heaven who has revealed it to you. So to know Jesus, it has to be spiritually discerned. You talk to your blue in the face about Jesus to some people, and they just don't get it, right? Because it's the Spirit that brings them closer to Jesus, brings them closer to the Lord through Jesus. Amen. I have Muslim friends, and I talk to them about it, and they just can't get it. They think that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They brought in a substitute, and he was the one that was crucified. Can you believe that? And I'm scratching my head like, can you? What's talking about that? So we're playing basketball, and one of the Christian guy goes, because they were behind about like, you know, 6 points or something, and we came back and won. He said, just like Jesus rose from the dead, we came back. We rose and took over. And my Muslim friend says, what's he talking about? I go, you know, Jesus died and he rose from the dead. He goes, where is Jesus now? I go, he's in heaven, but his spirit's alive on the inside of me. And he looked at me like, huh? Spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. And we send videos back and forth. He's trying to convert me. I'm trying to convert him. We still haven't, nobody's moved an inch, but we still love each other. We still have fun together. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's the Holy Spirit in John 15. It says, it's the Spirit of truth that comes that will testify of Jesus. Now, how do we see Jesus? In his word, right? The Bible says all the scriptures point back to Jesus. He is our life, and he is, in the Bible, is the word of truth. Praise the Lord. Remember when Jesus was walking after he rose from the dead on the Emmaus Road, and the two disciples were there, and he was talking to him about the scriptures, and he says, all these testify of me. And they said, didn't our hearts burn? You know, it seems like the Spirit was talking to me about this is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Remember doubting Thomas? He came and all the 11 or 10 were there in the room, upper room, praying. And where was Thomas? He wasn't at church that day. Oh, my gosh. He missed out. He missed out on the presence of God. He missed out on the direction of God. And so he says, unless I see, unless I put my finger, let's see that scripture. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Boy, that's pretty bold, isn't it? That's pretty, you know, come on, you know, what are you trying to say? You don't believe us? And after 8 days, the disciples were again together, and Jesus came in, and he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand there, here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And then he said, Jesus said, Thomas answered unto him, Lord, my Lord, and my God. Notice it was personal. My Lord and my God. Is he personal to you? Is he your God? Isn't it great to have a God in heaven that works for you? Like, you know, you see these cartoon characters, son of Zeus and son of all this. We are the son of God, the living God, the real God, the true God, that he's here to defend and fight for you. Can I get an amen? So then he said, Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen me and believed. That's us. We haven't seen him, but we believe that he's there. We feel him in our heart. We know he's there. His presence is always with us. And he works miracles, mighty miracles, on our behalf. Is that not right? Is that not true? Okay, now I want to show you a video of this lady who died. She was in a car accident. She died, went to heaven. And you see a lot of these on YouTube, but you have to be careful because some of them, like, I don't know, they're kind of fishy. But you have to realize where the source is. But this is from CBN 700 Club. Pretty, you know, realistic or reliable. But after I, Rosie, if you could turn the lights down. After I saw this, I got a whole different picture of Jesus. And I wanted to share it with you so that you can see it as well.
When I stepped into heaven, I mean, I hit the light, and I was literally blinded by the light. I'm blinded still today of the light of his presence. I stood up, I turned around, and there was Jesus. And I don't know if I ran to him or he came to me. I mean, all of a sudden we were there. He just smiled at me, and I felt all this emotion that he had for me. I finally felt like I was home. It was like I stepped into, finally, I belong. This is where I belong. I was home.
Valerie had been a Christian for most of her life, but says she never believed that God really loved her.
In my heart of hearts, I did not believe that I was worthy of his love. Because I always felt like I was never going to measure up to what I thought the Lord wanted from me. So when I felt his emotion, I felt how he felt about me, and the things that I thought about myself, like my flaws or my issues. He never even noticed. He just wants me. It wasn't anything that I did for him. It wasn't my performance, nothing. It was just me. I wasn't just loved by him, but he was in love with me. And I was his. That was it. I was done for. And I thought, but then realizing this is how he feels about his creation, those that he's created, whether they know him yet or not, this is how he feels.
Valerie says she felt like she was there for 1,000 years. And experienced life and love like she never had on earth. Then, Jesus told her she had to go back with a message.
He said, you can stay if you want to. And I said, well, if I can stay, I'm staying with you. I'm going to stay with you. And he said, but your purpose isn't done. And he said, I want you to tell the people who I am, who I really am. Because I thought he was, you know, religious. I thought he was mean. I thought he was, I didn't think he was, you know, human. And he's human. He'll always be human, but he's God. I didn't want to leave him. I hated leaving, but I had to come back. And the next thing I knew, I was making like my descent back to the earth.
At the hospital, days after the accident, the medical team began reacting to new signs of life.
And the doctor's checking, he's flashing the light in her eyes, and he looks at me and he said, get ready, I think your sister's coming back. I see some brain activity.
Amen. Does that touch your heart or not? Amen. To know how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us, and if you have loved ones that have gone on, they're enjoying the presence of the Lord. It's hard to bring them back because who would want to come back to this world? Amen? I'm kind of jealous sometimes when I hear people that go home to be with the Lord. I go like, I'd like to go right now, but got to stay here through thick and thin and just do the things that God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. So how do you see Jesus? Let's look at scripturally in John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Keeping his commandments, doing his commandments, that's how he manifests himself to you. Amen? Now, I got to admit, I was tempted this week, you know, going to be a little open and just bare my heart with you. But I was in my driveway, and I saw some nice flowers on the other side of the street that belonged to somebody house that on the hill. Can we show that picture? See, look at those beautiful looking flowers, and in a group right there. And then there's some on the bottom. No, not yet. There's some on the bottom there. And I thought, you know, they're kind of like renegade flowers. They know they don't have a purpose. They're not with their group. They would look good in my yard. And so let me show. See, they belong. Next slide. They belong right there, don't you think? To me, that would be a good home for them, you know, just to transplant them and get them to a place where they could be appreciated. And so I looked at this for a few days. You know how the devil works on you. You know, you look at it one time, oh, no, that's not going to. Then you look at it again, and then finally it just overcomes you. And I said, I'm going to get a shovel, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to dig that sucker up and give it a home where it belongs. Amen? And so as I was getting my shovel and I was starting to go across the street, I said, wait a minute. What if they have Ring camera on their house and they see Pastor coming over to steal their flowers? I think that's one of the commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. And so I said, well, what if one of my neighbors comes by that knows me and sees the pastor with the shovel and flowers coming across the street? But even more important, what if God sees me doing that, right? So I put my shovel down. I said, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep my testimony because for $5, I'm not going to betray my heart. But isn't that how it works? It's just a little bit of time. You you compensate for that, or you concede on that, and then there's something else that's a little bit stronger. But since you've hardened your heart towards the commandments of the Lord, you know, you lose your testimony, you lose your heart towards him. So I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I wanted to keep my integrity, even though it's a small thing. But it would lead to other things like lying on your taxes and doing funny things at work. You know, all these other things that you have to resist, because the world out there will try and teach you how to not do what's right. You know, I used to date this girl before I met Marianne, the lovely and beautiful Marianne. We were talking about that, and she said, "Didn't you date other girls?" I go, "Yeah, but there's nobody like you, Marianne. You were the cat's meow. You were the one for me." But I was dating this one girl. Can I tell this story? Do you mind? Okay, for you single people. When I first got saved, I said, "Lord, send me a girl that can teach me the Bible." You know, in those days, I didn't know you're supposed to be man on man and woman on woman. But I said, "Send me a girl that can teach me." So, and I don't care what she looks like. So this girl came and ministered to me, showed me about the Bible, but she didn't look that good. And so finally, after a while, I said, "Okay, Lord, that's all well and good, but can I get another girl that can more spiritual and pretty? I need pretty, Lord. Come on, pretty." So this girl came, and she was beautiful. I mean, she looked like a model. I don't know why me, you know, like, God, what a prayer that was answered. But we couldn't get along for beans. I mean, she was so spiritual. She said, "Well, let's not jaywalk, because that's against the law, and we don't want to do that," and all these things. And I just pulled my hair out. Okay, whatever. And then I said, "Okay, Lord, send me somebody else more spiritual, but, you know, to teach me, I want to, you know, learn more about the Lord. And I don't care. She doesn't have to be that pretty. Just cute. I just want cute." So this girl that was living in our apartment, we got to be friends, and she was cute, and we talked about the Lord, and we were dating. But when I went to hug her, it's like hugging my sister. It's like, "Oh, ah, yikes, that's not it. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, forget all my requirements. You know what I need. Send me somebody that can help me and develop me, and you bring the right one for me." And then lo and behold came Marianne. And then 10 weeks later, we got married. Bang, you know, that was it. I just knew that I knew. So my son, I know he's waiting for that little, you know, heavenly vision, like, okay, this is the one, you know, that comes down, you know. But sometimes you have to wait a long time, because what I did is I said, "Lord, I'm going to love you if I never get married." And so I fell in love with the Word, and then the Lord showed me somebody that also loved the Word, and so we connected, and that was it. So I didn't know that she was going to be so good and able to do great things for us. Praise the Lord. So Jesus wants to be with you. He says in John 14:23, look at this. Jesus said to them, he continues, says, "If you love me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, make our home with him." He said, if you love me and you keep my commandments, we're going to sit down and talk with you and sup with you, as it says in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and sup with him and he with me." Jesus wants to come and be part of our lives. Amen? Just like he was with the children when he was here on the earth. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Jesus talking with the children and lowering himself to hear him. I want to be with him like that when he was a little child. I want to be like that when we grow up, so that he can show me the way. Follow me. This is the way. This is the job. This is the person. This is the house. This is where I want you to go. Praise God. Even when I'm doing business, I want him to be in the room. I want him to be, show me the way. Give me wisdom in what I'm doing. Praise God. Even when I'm having fun, I want the Lord to be with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When I play basketball, I want him to be with me. When I'm at home watching TV, I want him to be with me. I want him to be with me wherever I am. Praise the Lord. I want to see Jesus. So in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38, Jesus said to him, "You shall love..." Here's the question. So the Pharisee said, "Well, what's the greatest commandment? I mean, what commandment do you want me to fill?" There's 630 commandments that were man-made by the Pharisees. And they said, "Which one?" And he said in Matthew 22:37, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he said, the second is likened to that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But then Jesus says, a little bit later, he says, a new commandment I give you. Not that you love your neighbor as yourself, but he says, I love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's a whole different story. It's not you loving, it's God in you loving somebody with his love. That's different, isn't it? You can love somebody, but you say, okay, I love you, but you stay over there. Don't come too close to me. Just, you know, let the Lord work on you, and when you're done, then come. No, we're supposed to be in the middle of it all, loving them through it. Praise God. Amen. It says, we have to have the Lord's help. Now, how do you do that? I'm going to give you a secret. Have any of you had trouble with people? People bug you, people wrong you, people get on your nerves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. A lot of people don't want to raise their hand, but we all got them in our lives. Amen. They could be close friends. They could be family. It could be even just the guy in the market. You know, there's one lady at our market in the bakery section. She just rubs me the wrong way. Every time I go in there, I said, where are the bagels? Oh, we're not ready yet. I go, what do you mean you're not ready yet? You're supposed to have them out here at 7 o'clock. I know that's what you're supposed to do. And so I was getting having a little animosity towards her. So I had to quote the scripture. Ready? In 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, love endures long and is patient and kind. Well, I'm not that way, but him in me can be patient. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Well, I have a problem with that. My son's nodding his head. Don't agree on these points, okay? He's saying amen at the wrong time. It is not rude, unmannerly, it doesn't act unbecoming. You know, can I say this? We have some new people here, I was talking to one brother yesterday, and he said, you know, one thing I noticed is your people really love you. And I go, that's because I really love them. I'm with them wherever they are, whatever they're going through, all the baptisms and the marriages and the baby dedications and the, you know, funerals and everything, you know, problems at work, wherever, whatever's going through. I've been doing this for 20 years and 20 years before that. And so someone asked me, who would want to even be a pastor and have put up with all these problems? I go, it's kind of like it's in you, kind of like when you're a father, you're a mother, and you have a little baby. All of a sudden, you just feel like you have to protect him and take care of him. That's the way I feel. I feel like I got to protect you and take care of you. And my son's the same way. He gets involved in whatever they're going through, you know, through COVID and, you know, helping with the children, raise them up and get them in church and all this stuff. We're there for you. That's what pastors do. In the Bible, it says that God will give us shepherds after his own heart. If God was here, if Jesus was here, he would do the same thing. He reaches out to people, just like I do. I reach out to people. Okay, but it's not me. It's God in me. In verse 5, it says, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Are you touchy or fretful or resentful? Takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Is that you? No, I don't think so. But you know what? If you meditate on this, I answered for you guys. If you meditate on this, it becomes a seed that's planted in your heart and you start doing it. You start seeing fruit. You start seeing the flower of God's word blossom in your life, and you start doing these things, and you go like, where did that come from? Oh, it's God planted in you. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's the third time you did that, okay? I just want to let you know. I'm taking account of it, okay? It's the third time, you know, in 6 months period, you know, and one more time, you're out. No. Look, verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Well, I can't endure this. Oh, no, love can. You people that are married, you know, and the wife doesn't close the box top of the cereal, you can endure that. You know, you can overcome that, you know. Men that leave their socks laying out in the, you know, yeah, you can endure that, you know. Praise the Lord. As long as the socks are not in the cereal, I think you can overcome it. Okay. And so why am I saying this is so good? Because in 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, never fades out, never becomes obsolete. You can overcome everything through love. And I tell the story about my neighbor who said I was the worst neighbor she ever had because I was telling her the dogs, you know, are barking late at night. And I went over there in my pajamas, and they didn't like that, and I sprayed water over the fence. And she said, "You are the worst. You are the worst neighbor I ever had." And I said, "Okay, it's on, girl. I'm going to make my enemies my friends." So I dressed Charles up in the bunny outfit, and we hopped over there, and we gave Easter eggs to the kids. I helped her with their mailbox. I was the best neighbor I could ever be. And she finally admitted to it when she was getting ready to move. She said, "You are the best neighbor I've ever had." I go, can you put that on the sign there? You know, move into the best neighbor in the world. And even so, as she was moving, she said, "You know, you really tried to get me to go to your church. You really were persistent." I go, "Really? All I wanted you to do is accept the Lord so you can go to heaven." She goes, "Really?" I go, "Yeah. Can I pray with you?" She said, "Yes." I prayed with her. She accepted the Lord on the day that she was moving. And the friend that was moving with her also accepted the Lord. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is our assignment, to love one another, even as Christ loved the church. And the second thing we have to do is read his word and let it be your mirror. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by a mirror? You know, what does a mirror do? You look in a mirror and you see, oh, I got some imperfections. My hair's messed up. You know, I got some dirt on my face. Or you know, things are not right. I got to straighten them out. And so the Bible's the same way. When you put the Bible up and it says, just like I was reading in 1 Corinthians, oh, I'm not that way. I'm not long-suffering. I'm not patient. Well, then you have to let it change you. The Word of God has to change you on the inside. You can't do it yourself. You can't have the willpower to love somebody. That has to be a God thing. So a mirror exposes our sins, our shortcomings, the areas of life where we need to repent. When we read the Bible, we can see where we need to change and to allow God to realign our hearts with His heart. The Word of God can examine, restore, and transform the believer so that they will be more mature in their walk with the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen? So we have to do that before we come to church, before we even leave the house. Because if we don't do that, we're going to be not looking so good. Like this guy right here, I'm going to show you what it looks like when someone is not prepared, hasn't looked into the Bible as their mirror. And so I'm waiting for that person to come. And he's late in coming. And so, praise the Lord. Where is that young man that's supposed to be coming? Because, you know, sometimes you have to be careful how you look, how your disposition is. Do you have a godly character on the inside of you? And here comes a guy. He's coming to church. And he looks like a mess, doesn't he? Brother, can you get a mic? Let me give you a mic and see what... Welcome to church. How are you doing?
I'm fine and blessed of the Lord. Everything is good.
Everything is good, huh?
Yeah.
Did you look in the mirror today?
Nope. I just got up, got dressed, and came to church.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Did you do your devotions at all?
Nope. I just came to church.
Okay. Well, that's good. But did you notice that your shirt's not tucked in?
It isn't?
No, you're sure. You need to tuck in those emotions and those angers that you have because, you know, there's people driving out here. You could lose your temper.
You're right. You know, I did cut someone off in the parking lot today. Do you think that was a problem?
Ooh, yeah, I think so. You know, you need to be careful about that. And the Bible says you're supposed to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You look like you got dirt on your hands. You got dirt on your face. You need to clean yourself up. Let me help you with this. Here you go.
All right.
Your favorite thing right here. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart. Let me hear.
I might need some more.
Okay, let me clarify your heart.
All right. Get my face.
Oh, your face. Okay, yeah, you're a mess. Yeah, I don't know what happened to you. Oh, let me see. Here's what you look like. Let me see. Look what you look. See, look.
Oh, my gosh. You're, I look so bad.
You were a mess.
I am a mess.
Okay, well, we're cleaning you up. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we're cleaning you up. And brother, you're supposed to live a holy life, not have holes in your pants. You're supposed to be holy before the Lord.
Okay, yeah. All right, I need to live holy.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah, but what about my hair? What do I need to do with my hair?
Well, the Bible says not to have any appearance of evil, and you don't appear too good. So you need to comb your hair here.
Okay, all right. Okay. I might need that. Mirror again, but okay.
Okay, well, praise the Lord.
How does that look?
Better, much better. I think you're ready to go and face the world now.
All right, yeah, I feel great now. The Word of God has really straightened me out.
Praise the Lord. Give him a hand. Amen. So I did that so that you know, when you're losing it out there, you go like, wait a minute, I didn't really check myself. I didn't look in the mirror of God's Word to get straightened out before I came into this world. You know, there's a story about this guy. He said, you know, Lord, I've been doing good, you know, today, and things haven't exactly gone my way, but I kept my patience, and I kept my long-suffering, and I'm getting ready to get up now, so I want you to help me with the people that I'm facing. It's easy when you're all by yourself to have the love of God, but it's the people that we face where you have to have the love of God. Amen? So where are we? To see Jesus, we have to obey his commandment of love, right? Tough assignment. To read his word and let the word be your mirror to see how you're acting. If you're not acting right, look at the Bible. Am I doing the Bible? And then the third thing is enter his presence with praise. That's how you get the presence of God, is by praising him and worshiping him and allowing his presence to come upon you. The Bible says, you are holy who inhabits the praises of Israel. So when you praise God, God comes and inhabits, stays with you, and you can carry him with you wherever you go. If you've never done that, try that in the morning. Spend a lot of time with him and let his spirit go with you, and people will say, man, you've got the love of God on the inside of you. You know those people that are just so easy to be around, so easy to talk to, so easy to be with. Amen. We celebrated Leanne and James's 5th year anniversary together this week. And give them a hand clap. That's good. 5 years. A lot of people don't even make it 5 years, you know. 1 year, I'm had call off the jam, then, okay. But we were telling them, it was so easy to be with them. They're so, you know, filled with the love of God. It was just, everything was beautiful. Amen. They let us eat, you know, more of their noodles and rice. And that's why it was good. I thought it was good. You're not eating this, are you? Okay, we'll take it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So that's our assignment. Amen. To see Jesus. We're going to go into a little bit more next week about how what Jesus has given us so that we can be like him. So let's bow our heads and pray. And I hope I've given you enough ammunition to be like Jesus, to see Jesus walk in your life, to avoid temptation, follow his commandments, especially his commandment of love. And it's through God's love that we're able to do the things that he has called us to do. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you. We thank you that you are the God of love. And I thank you that you infuse and impart that love on the inside of us, that we are partakers of your divine nature through the precious promises that you've given us. So, Lord, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to look at the Bible not as information, but as transformation to bring us closer to you. And I thank you, Lord, as we praise you, as we worship you, we enter into a spiritual state where you can inhabit, where you can live with us. As a Father, I just thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus, hold on a second and just let the Holy Spirit take control of your hearts. Thank you, Lord.